Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks to Jamie Floyd for filling in on Thursday and Friday. According to a CBS News New York Times poll of registered Republicans, nearly 60% cannot name even one Republican presidential hopeful who they're enthusiastic about. That's a sign of the widespread alienation of Americans from both parties. And with the first Republican primary debate scheduled for next week, believe it or not, it could create opportunity for some of these voices. Cue the orchestra.
Government has been hijacked by liberals, and we're going to take it back.
Hey, Ron Paul cannot get elected, I'm sorry to tell you. And you know what else? I like Ron Paul. I think he's a good guy. But honestly, he has just zero chance of getting elected. You have to win an election.
I've become convinced that America has been put on a dangerous course by Washington politicians, and it's become even worse during the last 2 years. But I'm also convinced that with able leadership, America's best days are still ahead.
We believe that it is possible to reestablish American exceptionalism as the core value of this country that has made us so unique and has attracted people from all over the world.
If you speak in Iowa today, most people think that you're running for president. And so the context of the remarks are, I am going to Iowa because I'm speaking about the issues that I believe will be important for 2012.
Dominant issues in America are all of this spending, outrageous spending, excessive debt, skyrocketing deficits, joblessness, and what the American people are looking at, and they're saying the Obama policies aren't working.
Why would you want to be president?
I think because I believe that this country needs leadership that would take us in a different direction. It's one of the things I'm having to wrestle with now. Is there somebody else that I see coming along the scene that stands up, stands out, and does it better? If so, then maybe I'll help them. But I ran the first time with the view that I thought that we needed the experience and the expertise that a governor brings to the table.
I'm not going
to
sit down. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to hopefully be able to help empower others who believe that one of the things that makes America so exceptional is our right to free speech.
In 2008, I think the American people, you know, wanted a president who they could believe in. And I think after 2 years of that, what they've realized is America needs a president that believes in them.
And let the race begin. Okay, listeners, how many of those possible Republican presidential hopefuls can you name? Jonathan Martin, senior political writer at Politico, joins us now to start the week. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, I can name most of them.
Go ahead. You're on.
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot.
I
like
am,
that,
absolutely.
Huh? Oh, man, that's tough.
It started
I think my favorite part, though, was Donald Trump talking about how he likes Ron Paul. I mean, I'm sure that the two of them are hanging out down at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach.
I'm sure. And Ron Paul is not reelectable. Is not electable. Thank you, Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Herman Cain was the first voice.
Yes,
Trump,
sir.
Mitt Romney, Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, Haley Barbour, Mike Huckabee, Sarah Palin. And do you recognize the last one?
Was it Gary Johnson?
It was Rick Santorum.
Oh, okay.
Former senator from Pennsylvania.
Now,
listeners, on our politics website, it's a freecountry.org, we have profiles of 13 possible Republican presidential candidates. And I just discovered that the people at the Free Country side of our operation also found one that I did not include on my original list of 16 before the news, and that is Roy Moore. Do you know that name, Jonathan?
Former Supreme Court Justice in Alabama. He of the Ten Commandments in the courtroom, right?
Exactly. Is he actually considering a presidential run?
Yeah, he was in Iowa and said so. So, I, you know, 'tis the season, right?
So, listeners, we could have some fun with a name game here for the first few minutes of this. I mentioned 16 possible Republican hopefuls before the news, plus Roy Moore makes 17. How many can you name? Call us up and try your hand if you dare. And if there's anyone who you think we're still leaving out, by all means call us up and add that name to the list. See how many potential Republican presidential hopefuls you can name in the meantime, if you dare. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or post it to itsfreecountry.org. Jonathan, the original list that I made this morning and tweeted out before the show contained only 15 names.
Yeah.
So I want to credit a tweeter who goes by Beat Below for pointing out John Bolton, who I did not include.
Yes, that's right. The former ambassador to the UN. That's right.
So there's a place for aggressive neocon Bush administration retreads from the Iraq war in this race?
Right now, Brian, there's a place for anyone who wants it.
I guess.
That is the beauty of April of 2011 is that this is the time of year when, like they say about you know, spring training and baseball, everybody's undefeated.
And hope springs eternal.
That's exactly right.
And we mentioned Rick Santorum. He was one of the guests on Fox News Sunday yesterday. Now, for people who don't know, Santorum lost a seat to Bob Casey Jr. in 2006, had been Republican senator from Pennsylvania, best known for his advocacy of religious right politics, I think it's fair to say. He talked positively about intelligent design creationism, outspoken on the Terry Schiavo case and government's duty to intervene in that. But isn't this supposed to be the era of the Tea Party, which is supposed to be about the deficit above all else and consciously de-emphasizing both foreign policy and the religious right social agenda?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian. I mean, I do think that the sort of energy right now in the Republican Party is definitely over fiscal issues, spending, deficits, really the sort of role of the federal government, and this fear about America becoming more like Europe in terms of a social welfare state. But that said, there are still a lot of conservatives out there that vote in these primaries and participate in these caucuses that are driven by a set of cultural issues. And in a place like Iowa especially, you're talking about a electorate that is perhaps half or just over half self-described born again evangelical. So there, you know, is still a sort of strong element of the party. And also, it's important to recognize that a lot of folks that say that they're Christian conservatives also happen to be fiscal conservatives, and vice versa. I mean, I think a lot of the folks that are Tea Party activists also probably happen to be culturally conservative. It's a matter, though, of emphasis, I think.
All right. Jan on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jan.
Good morning, Brian.
You want to try your hand at all 17 names?
I'll take a shot.
Go for it.
Okay. Palin, Trump, Pawlenty, Romney, Barber, Huckabee. Now we're getting to the obscure ones.
It's hard.
It is hard because there's too many of them. There's too many altogether, whether they're candidates or not. Wait.
You can't get stuck at just six and say
it's
hard from there.
Santorum.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the ones I dislike the most, but I think it's a kind of toss-up. I'm sorry. I think I'm drawing a blank.
Okay, that's okay. That's all right. But that shows how large Jonathan Martin from Politico and how obscure a lot of this field is.
Yeah, there's no question about it that we are at a time right now when there is sort of nobody standing out in terms of this field. There are names that folks have heard of, obviously. I think Trump is a household name. A lot of folks do know Romney. But this is different than last time around where you had, you know, like John McCain, Rudy Giuliani. Those were really household names. Hillary Clinton, obviously, on the Democratic side, somebody like a Joe Biden, Chris Dodd. You had a lot of folks people knew. And this time around, kind of political insiders at this point may know who Haley Barbour is and Tim Pawlenty, but the general population, I think, still does not have a great sense for who these folks are. But again, I mean, it is still early yet. After these folks are on TV, do a series of debates over the course of the next 7-8 months, I think that will change.
Oh, somebody just called up and said, I should have mentioned George Pataki.
But he has indicated recently that he's not going to run, though.
Not going to run. The former governor of New York State. And nobody else is calling up to try. People are calling up to say, well, I can name two. Yeah, well, I'm not going to put you on the air if you can only name two. So
let's got to be five minimum, right?
If you're going to try. I mean, Jan gave it a yeoman's effort there, but only got 6 out of 16 or 17. So let's flip the question. Now an earnest question for Republican listeners, and that is there anybody who you are enthusiastic about as of right now? I know this is early, but the first televised debate is coming next week. Jonathan Martin is from Politico is with us partly because he wrote an article this weekend that said the next 2 weeks will mark the effective start of this slow-developing campaign. So seriously, for Republican listeners, as this poll has come out showing 57% of registered Republicans cannot even name one candidate who you are enthusiastic about, who are you enthusiastic about? If you see yourself as someone who would vote in a Republican primary next year, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And, Jonathan, can I get your take on that poll, that CBS News New York Times poll? It found, as I said, nearly 60% of registered Republicans cannot name even one Republican presidential hopeful, potential hopeful, who they're enthusiastic about. What do you make of that?
I think that that does capture where a lot of grassroots Republicans are right now. They see a field where there is nobody who they can get fired up about. There's nobody in that George W. Bush model. Recall in 1999, George W. Bush was the early favorite and remained so with the obvious sort of bump along the road in New Hampshire where he lost to John McCain. But Bush got out there early. He collected the support of the estate. Establishment, both donors and elected officials, but also grassroots activists. He was somebody who I think really united both the activist wing of the party and the sort of donor wing of the party in a way that nobody is doing right now. There is no Bush-like figure out there right now. I think Romney is trying to do that, but it's facing some real headwinds from activists because of questions over the health care reform bill that passed in Massachusetts, but also more broadly, he just isn't getting folks excited, the activist. They know him from last time. They see him as acceptable, but just not somebody that they're terribly fired up about.
And what about, in terms of the activist base, some of the people who, that some of the Democrats and liberals would love to hate and who get a lot of media attention, like Michelle Bachmann or Sarah Palin, even Mike Huckabee, the base isn't getting fired up about them?
What do all three of those have in common, Brian? None of them have said that they're going to run. The one who's closest to doing this is Bachmann, the Minnesota congresswoman. She has said that she will decide sometime probably around June. But she definitely has a following. I think Iowa is a place to watch her. But here's the challenge for personally Bachmann. The Republican base right now very much wants to beat this president. And obviously they're conservative, but they want to try and find somebody that can beat President Obama. And so I think she has a challenge to make the case of why she would be a viable general election candidate. It's not happening yet, but I guarantee you if she does find some traction, if she does ultimately run, that will be a real central question that she has to answer, Brian. And that is, this is my strategy for how I can beat the president in a general election. And there are a lot of folks in her party who are going to say it's just not feasible.
Chris in Amityville, who are you excited about?
Ron Paul is the candidate of my choice.
Think he can be nominated or elected?
The people who have been looting this country for the last 70 years are very much against him, and they own the press. So he's a hard guy to elect, but if the people who are looking at their own self-interest, in terms of the voters who are looking at their own self-interest, want to throw off this Federal Reserve system that's been pilfering our money supply and have devalued it by 96% since 1913, then Ron Paul's the only candidate that we can really trust in the field that you've named there to do that.
Chris, thank you very much. We'll take own the press as own in quotes. Like, they can get a lot of media attention. John in West Harlem, you've got one from the list, maybe the most obscure name on the entire list.
Yeah, I've heard a lot recently about, well, from my sources, about Gary Johnson, the governor of New Mexico, and he's pretty anti-tax, and I like that, but the main thing I like is that he supports legalizing marijuana, which is probably the number one, in my view, problem this country faces is our drug war.
John, thank you. And yeah, Gary Johnson, I think former governor of New Mexico.
Former governor of New Mexico, absolutely.
He wrote a book. He was on the show recently to talk about his book, I guess starting to set up his run. And he's kind of a Ron Paul libertarian, isn't he?
Yes, but for Johnson, everything does eventually come back to legalization of marijuana. I mean, there was a joke about McCain in 2000 that he could get a question about, you know, Chinese currency or the Balkans, and he would find a way to bring it back to campaign finance reform. Well, Brian, Gary Johnson finds a way to bring everything back to marijuana legalization.
Uh-huh.
So if that's your issue, then you know, he obviously is going to be your guy. But if I can just respond to the previous caller about Ron Paul, I actually have a story up today on Politico about the Paul family.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I think that they are here to stay. The Republican Party today is more libertarian than it was 4 years ago when Ron Paul was running. But Paul himself is 75. He's not somebody who, as he himself admits, presents all that well. But his son is the one to watch, Rand Paul, the freshman senator from Kentucky. I think he is somebody that could go further than his old man ever did when it comes to national politics.
And I heard Rand Paul say in an interview last week that he would run next year if his father doesn't. But I guess his father is.
I think you're going to have a Paul running every 4 years for as long, Brian, as we can see. Because it's a platform to get their issues out, issues like the Fed, like restraint abroad, constitutional issues. I think the scenario that's likely this time around is that Ron Paul gives it one last go, carries the sort of torch in 2012, and then calls it a career, and then 16 or 20, whenever the a case may be, you see Rand Paul probably, you know, get out there and run. And I think Rand Paul could be more formidable than his dad, mm-hmm. because not only does he present better, but I think he also is more willing to sort of offer their version of libertarianism in a way that's more palatable for the mainstream. You know, like foreign policy kind of issues where Ron Paul was unapologetic in his views. You saw the son last year when he ran in Kentucky much more willing to sort of downplay some of his views to accommodate a more traditional conservative mm-hmm. electorate.
Like that the 1964 civil rights law should have allowed discrimination in the private sector. So who'll be in this first debate? What, a week from Thursday, is it?
Well, you're going to have Rick Santorum. You're going to have Buddy Romer, the former governor of Louisiana. You're going to have Tim Pawlenty, the former governor of Minnesota. You may have Haley Barbour if he does run, and we're going to, I think, know this week if he's in or out. You're probably going to have Newt Gingrich as well. So it's not going to be a full debate, but it's going to be sort of the first look at these guys on the same stage.
Give me your reaction to one other poll result from that CBS News New York Times poll. It found that just 44% of Americans said they have a favorable view of the Democratic Party, but just 37% said they have a favorable view of the Republican Party. Has the Republican House alienated most Americans after just these few months in office with proposing to privatize Medicare and things like that, or is it not about that?
Well, I mean, I do think there's a part of it that is a pox on both your houses. There's a lingering contempt for Washington, Brian, that we've seen really going back to 2006, so the last 5 years. But I do think Republicans have a challenge here in that, you know, Boehner's got to balance the demands of his freshman class with trying to accommodate the sort of broader swath of Americans. And a lot of these Tea Party folks, a lot of the freshmen, want to push further and further to the right. And obviously, you have folks in swing districts that don't want to go that far to the right. And the most vivid example of this has been the Paul Ryan budget proposal. These folks going home during recess this past week getting questions about Medicare. Why do you want to end Medicare? This is a third rail. There's a reason why Medicare hasn't been touched. There's a reason why entitlements aren't touched. It's politically very, very risky. So I think John Boehner has his sort of challenge here ahead of him. And look, there were four Republicans who didn't vote for that Paul Ryan budget. So the entire caucus has a vote on the record now that they're going to be held accountable for next year on Medicare. So, therein lies the risk.
Jean in Aberdeen has another Republican she'd like to add to the list. Hi, Jean. Jean, you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi. You calling?
Oh, hi.
Because you're in...
Yes, I'll be quick. Okay, I think Jeb Bush would be an excellent candidate. He has name recognition. I hear he was a fairly good governor, and he is fluent in Spanish. And according to the last census report, Pat Buchanan claims that no one can win if they don't appeal to that vote, because the numbers of Spanish-speaking people are increasing greatly by leaps and bounds, and
Jean,
that's it.
Thank you very much. Of course, Jeb's brother, when he was president of the United States, tried to appeal to that electorate with comprehensive immigration reform, and we see what happened to him from his own party.
And, Brian, George W. Bush's 44% of the Hispanic vote in 2004 was the high water mark in terms of what the GOP has gotten in recent presidential races of the Hispanic vote. It's absolutely pivotal, and that's part of the reason why you hear this pining for Jeb Bush. I think there are a group of folks, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Paul Ryan, maybe Mitch Daniels, if he drags this thing out, that I would put in this bucket of a sort of Republican a fantasy list, right? Mm-hmm. These are the folks that you're going to hear talked about at length throughout this year. It's kind of like in 2003 when Hillary Clinton was not going to run, but Democrats were not happy with their field. It was always sort of this pining for Hillary. Jeb is the Hillary of this time around, but for the Republicans.
Interesting. I always thought Lindsey Graham would be running for president by now. Does he not have that ambition?
I think he's more of a Senate sort of deal maker. I think that's where he wants to be, Brian, is cutting deals in the Senate, being a player there, and passing bills. That's really his nature, I think.
All right. Jonathan Martin, senior writer for Politico, as we handicap the very early stages of the Republican field of possible presidential hopefuls, the first debate coming up next week. We will talk about that as it approaches, and obviously play clips on the day after. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thanks, Brian. Always a treat.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will meet the president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, with Planned Parenthood so in the news right now. Stay with us.